You're listening to the Contagious Confidence Podcast, and I'm your host, Katie Hawks. I'm passionate about helping you unleash confidence in every area of your life. Confidence is a journey, and I'm here to remind you that you're not alone. Every other Tuesday, I'm bringing you conversations that will inspire, encourage, and challenge you. Are you ready? When was the last time you bragged on yourself? It's hard, right? The word brag gets a bad rap. We're taught from a very young age that bragging on yourself is a negative thing. But the truth is, there's a right way to brag. When it's done right, it can help you get a better job and even better pay. You have a lot to be proud of, right? It's time to let people know about it. That's why I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest, Dr. Winifred Bragg. Dr. Bragg is the creator of the Bragg Factor, a system that teaches entrepreneurs, college students, and other professionals how to own and communicate their value. Dr. Bragg is the best-selling author of 4 books, including a 3-part series which focuses on personal growth and leadership. She is a public speaker for corporations such as Fortune 500 companies and universities. She is also the CEO of the Spine and Orthopedic Pain Center in Norfolk, Virginia, which provides non-surgical pain management. I loved my conversation with Dr. Bragg. We talked about how we can address the mental pain we experience around self-promotion and instead confidently talk about our accomplishments for better opportunities and achieving success. She totally helped me reframe the way I think about bragging and why I should start bragging on myself more. You just never know what it's going to lead to. I am so excited for you to tune into this conversation, and I hope you're ready to learn a lot. Now let's get into it. Dr. Bragg, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's times like these that I have to pinch myself because I'm like, is this really my life? I get to talk to people that are making an incredible impact on people's lives, and I am truly, truly honored to have you on the show. I would love to give you an opportunity to say hello to my listeners before we dive into our conversation.
Well, Katie, I'm honored to be able to be on your podcast as well. I'm really encouraged and delighted and inspired that you have a podcast devoted to help women to gain self-confidence. How cool is that? So I'm so happy to be able to speak to your listeners today. And hopefully I'll be able to say something that to someone out there who thinks that they are not good enough to do something, that after you and I chat today, that they will know that they are good enough to do it.
Whew. I felt that in my bones when you said that. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Oh, wow. In your bones.
Were yes, you in young? My bones.
You look too young to be feeling something in the bones. That's an old lady's pain.
You would be surprised, Dr. Brad. You would be surprised. I'm also very excited because Dr. Bragg, I've been researching you and you are, I wish I lived closer so I could come see you because you're incredible.
Well, you know, we could always do telemedicine, but telemedicine video thing, yeah. Depending on where you live, you'd have to be in my state somewhere though now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or North Carolina, I have license in North Carolina.
Okay, we might be able to work something out.
We could work something out.
Yeah, because you not only teach people how to value themselves, but you also teach them how to be pain-free and live better lives.
Which right. Is amazing. Yeah. So you're kind of the intersection of the two things that I do.
Yeah.
I have a YouTube station, Katie, on Tuesdays, and it's called I Give People Tips to Have a Terrific Tuesday, because I want to inspire and motivate people to have a better life. Yeah. And on Friday, because I'm an interventional pain specialist, I have tips to have a pain-free Friday. So it's interesting that you should say that. So you are a combination of what I do in my day-to-day life.
I love it. I'm so glad that we're together right now having this conversation. I can't wait to ask you all the questions I have because I have a lot of them. So, but before we dive in, I would love for you to share your confidence boost and I'll share mine after.
Well, what I tell is interesting that you should ask that. I just mentioned I had a YouTube station, The Bragg Factor, And on Tuesday, I give people tips for a terrific Tuesday. And my tip just yesterday was exercise for a confidence boost. And really what I tell people to do this every day. Some people are morning people, some people are night people. So you have to decide what you are. But I tell people it's best if they could kind of do it in the morning. I believe in doing good self-talk to yourself because the world's going to talk negative to you. Everywhere you go, you can pay somebody at a restaurant, give them a tip, and they don't even tell you thank you. And they look at, oh, why didn't you give me more? And you thought you gave a good tip. So the world is filled with people that don't appreciate you. So you have to learn to appreciate yourself and take time to appreciate yourself. So my confidence tip is I tell people to get up every morning and look in the mirror and tell themselves, give themselves something that they can appreciate that they did. You know, maybe you're doing a Zoom meeting with someone and you were tired. And you made it through because you had a rough day at home the night before, but you made it through that meeting. So tell yourself how good and how you were able to do whatever it was you wanted to do. And so look in the mirror each morning and appreciate yourself and tell yourself, you know, the dinner I did last night, it was good. My children enjoyed it. My husband enjoyed it. My significant other enjoyed it. And it was good. I am a good cook. I am a good organizer. I am a good mother. I am a good leader. I am a good whatever you are. But say that to yourself and tell yourself, start off by, I am valuable. I am equipped. I am good. And so that you tell that to yourself in the morning so that you get a framework so that you can have a day to start off with confidence. The other thing I tell people, Katie, is don't use that cell phone in the morning. When you first get up in the morning, give yourself 30 minutes without it. Because, you know, there are some people in your life that causes drama. Don't we have them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the friend, you love her, but she's going to call you with some drama. So cut off that cell phone. And in that 30 minutes that you're giving yourself your confidence boost so that you can start your day with confidence, focus on you. And look in the mirror and focus on and appreciate yourself and get really fixated on how good you are, not about anybody else. And you want that time to be free from the cell phone or any disruptions. And so cut that off or turn it off so that you can do that. And just make sure you tell yourself that. Another thing I do for confidence, Katie, and I may be going too long. I tell people to make what I call a celebration log.
Wow.
And what a celebration log or a celebration journal, whatever you want to call it, write down the things where I say the little wins, the W-I-N-S's that you had throughout the day or throughout the week. I say try to do it daily because, again, sometimes now with COVID, we're at home and we don't have a whole lot of interactions and they are limited, but some of them may not be positive. When we listen to the television, the news, you know, it's filled with such negativity. So what were your wins for today? Maybe you got through this interview with Dr. Bragg today and you said, oh God, I thought she'd be more entertaining. Maybe I wasn't as entertaining to you as you thought, or maybe whatever. And you said, oh, but I made it through an hour with her. That was a win for you. Maybe that was... I don't tell you, know, whatever the win was for you, but write down the wins that you had that day and look over and see, and that's going to reaffirm to you how good you are, how special you are. And then sometimes people think, what am I really good at? And all those things go into our confidence because sometimes we don't even know our value and what we're good at. So the main thing is do that in the morning, start your day with confidence. Or before you go to bed at night, if you're a nighttime person, take that time at night to turn the phone off and look in the mirror and tell yourself how good you are and thank yourself for the things that you have accomplished that day. And that's really going to help you and give you a confidence booster.
Oh, I love that so much. Those were such good tips. Turn off the phone. Don't, because a lot of times I wake up, I react to a news alert that I've gotten or a text that I've gotten. Or I'll react to an email or something like that. And I don't need to do that. I need to focus on myself. I need to have conversations with myself. So those are such great reminders and keeping a log of it too, because we can only keep so much in our heads. Like writing it down, Words have power, thoughts have power, and I love that confidence boost. Thank you so much for sharing, Dr. Bragg.
Yes, words do matter, Katie. And the reason I say write it down in a celebration or a win journal, whatever you want to call it, log, is because you can reflect on it. When you're not feeling good that day, when you look back on it, the words have power and you'll read it and you'll say, oh, I did that. Well, that was pretty good. And then it shows you things that were positive that day that you accomplished. So when you're having a bad day, you can look back on that and remember how good Monday was. And hopefully that can propel you to Tuesday and Wednesday because it was in your celebration log.
I love that so much. Oh, I can't wait to start implementing that. That's such a great idea. For my confidence boost, I was thinking about it and I got to celebrate one of my best friend's bachelorettes this past weekend.
Wonderful.
It was so great. It was such a great group of girls, and a lot of them I get to call my friends too. So it was just a beautiful weekend filled with really good food. Oh my gosh, the food was so good. And there was lots of laughter and just fun, and it was such a confidence boost to be surrounded by friends and celebrate your friends' special moments in life. So that's my confidence boost.
Is a good thing. And you know, one thing COVID should teach us, or should have taught us all, that how important it is to be able to spend time with our friends and how special, because we never know. And so, whoever would have thought that we'd be on lockdowns and shut up in the United States of America when we thought we had control over everything? And so, spending time with your friends is special. And we all need to take our time, no matter how much we work or how important we may think we are in our jobs. Nothing is more important than taking out that time, like you did, Katie, with your friends and with your family, because those are the memories that we will take through our life and we don't want to miss them because time is something that we can't get back. And your friend will always appreciate that you spent that time with her and with the other people. You know, Jim Rohn, who was a great entrepreneur, and he said that we are the sum total of the five people that we surround ourselves with. And so that was good that you surrounded yourself, as you said, could call those people friends. And that's important.
Oh, amen, Dr. Bragg. Everything you're saying, I'm like, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I totally agree. It really time and relationships are what's most important because we can't get that time back. That's so true.
Right.
Those are great confidence boosts. So that's just a little preview for the interview. But Dr. Bragg, I am so excited to dive into this interview today because we are talking about how to brag your way to a better job and how that can lead to pay raises. And this is something that is really hard for me. I cannot brag on myself well. I'm my worst critic. And I think that's something that I'm glad we were talking about friends and surrounding yourself with people because I can cheer my friends on like crazy, but when it comes to me, I can't for some reason. I just have a mental block when it comes to that. And I have a feeling a lot of people feel the same way. And from what I know about your story, Dr. Bragg, I know that you've had a lot of challenges that you've had to overcome to get to where you are today. So before we get into the questions I have for you, I would love to share what led you to where you are today and why you started the Bragg Factor.
Well, Katie, the Bragg Factor probably was started before Dr. Bragg knew she was starting it. I went to the University of Alabama, a major university, and I remember as being a freshman in a chemistry class with about 400 people. And for some reason, that teacher loved to call on me. And that was at a point in my life when I just didn't want to stand up and talk in a strange group because I didn't know the people, you know. And he would call on me, and I was terrified to have to answer and not knowing the answer in front of these strange people. And he seems like he was doing it to make fun or whatever. But I was frightened, afraid, and embarrassed. But I knew that in order to reach my goals, that I had to pass the chemistry class. And so it was very frightening for me. And I remember going home to my mother and saying, listen, this college thing is not working out because of this teacher. That was what he was doing. And my mother says, well, you need to make it the Winifred Bragg Show or something because you don't let anybody take you from reaching your goals. And I am a avid spectator of football. I love watching football. You know, Alabama has a good team, and I would love to go to football games, love to go to the parties. So basically, I had to turn myself into a nerd. Where I couldn't go to the football games and the parties because I had to really study extra hard because I knew this guy was going to call on me all the time. And so I got to the point that even when I didn't know the answer, Katie, the people in the class knew that if he asked me something on page 50, I maybe didn't know that answer. But I learned how to answer in a way that they knew I knew what was on page 51 and 52. And I had to learn how to do that. It's called fake it till you make it. And I was young then, so I didn't know what I was really doing. But I knew that I had to pass that class, and I was afraid, but I had to just do something. And so I think that was probably when the brag factor was born. But you see, I didn't know it. I was young then. And so as time went on in medical school and whatever, I was again had to speak in front of strange people and whatever. And I had to learn how to do it with confidence in order to make it because, you know, then medicine was so male dominated. There are more women in it now, but it was so male dominated. And being the only woman, and sometimes in different situations, I was the only person of color. So I was minority in different ways. And so what I learned is that when you can communicate, that is the bridge that helps propel you from point A to point B. And so my story comes from knowing that being afraid, when I knew that that was something that I really needed, that I couldn't do, that if you can discover your brag factor, what is unique about you, and embrace that and learn your value, then it has helped me to be able to propel those fearful waters, those fearful situations in my life when I didn't know what to do because I had to fall back on what was my value.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, I love it. So would you say that value and bragging, like, how would you relate your value to bragging? Because bragging gets a really negative connotation. A lot of people think it's arrogant to brag, but when you're looking at yourself and you're bragging what your value is, like how I would love for you to talk about more, like, why is bragging such a negative thing, but how can we kind of change our mindset around bragging?
I think as women, bragging is really viewed as a negative thing because, like you said, we see them as obnoxious, as negative, whatever. But you think about when a girl is becoming a brownie and as you're going up in the brownies, the Girl Scouts, you would be upset if you were able to get promoted in the Girl Scouts and left me behind. Some girls are so upset that their friend didn't make it. You know, that you went out for cheerleader, I went out for cheerleader. I didn't make it. Some girls can't even celebrate their own value because they're so upset about their friends because we get emotional about that. But think about little boys. They're like, "Hey, I made the football team and Tommy didn't make it." So it kind of comes from the way girls, the way we started off. And I think that research or statistics say, Katie, that if there's a job with 10 qualifications, do you know a woman won't apply if she lacks one of them? She can have nine of the qualifications. She won't apply. But Katie, guess how many qualifications a man has to have, and he still would apply. If there are 10 qualifications, how many do you think the man will apply if he only has that a number?
I would say zero or one.
And you are perfect. Statistics say that if a man has one of those 10, he applies for that job. And we can lack one and we don't. And that's what empowers me to talk about the brag factor, especially with women, because so many women lose jobs and promotions because we think of bragging as so negative. But I ask you, Katie, if you've ever worked anywhere other than your own business, how often did the boss come by and say, "Katie, let me just give you a raise today"?
I mean, not very often. It's happened a couple times, but it's because I put my head down and work. I never asked for it.
Right. But men will ask for that. And so it gets a negative connotation. But I say the reason brag is a five-letter word, my name, BRAGG, and not a four-letter word, BRAG, is because that second G stands for gratitude. And I think
Ooh.
it is the gratitude that is the separator, Katie. That if you say, I did this, and you say it from a standpoint of gratitude, then people will embrace what you did. And so if we brag from a standpoint of gratitude, it's seen different than you're just brag, brag, bragging. And then also, are you bragging something that was factual? Like if you say, I was able to, with the help of my staff, raise $10,000 for our church choir. You may be bragging, that's a fact, but see how it came across that you did that with your staff and you did it for the church choir and whatever, how people will receive that. So that's why you want to do it from a standpoint of gratitude. And it comes across much better. But people view it as a negative thing, but I can tell you that if you don't learn how to do it and promote yourself, you're gonna fall short on some of the things that you're deserving of, because that person would take your job from you or take the accolades from you that you really accomplished, and it would be your work. I have been in situations where I know I did a certain thing, and the person presented it like they did. And I had to learn, oh no, I can't keep letting him get credit for that. I used to be in a all-male medical practice, and I might make a suggestion, and the men would look at me like I had four heads. And for those of you who are not looking at me, I only have one head. Okay. But they would look at me like I had four heads. And I said, I guess that was dumb what I said, right? A man looked like they would go in the male's bathroom and come back and have a separate meeting. And he'd come back and say the same thing. And they were like, oh, Tom, oh, Pete, that was brilliant. And I'm like, when I said that. So sometimes life forces you to have to understand that you have to brag or give yourself credit for the things that you accomplished, or people would really take it from you. And that's what you have to learn. But people have a, women particularly, like I say, have a negative connotation of it. And I tell them the way you get over that, make yourself a product. Convert yourself to like a product. If you were selling Katie juice, which is sweetened and has a good, it just makes you energetic and it tastes good too. And it's nice and cool on a hot summery day. You're bragging about Katie's juice, right? So why come you can't talk about Katie the same way? Convert Katie to a juice. Katie is a young woman who started a podcast at a young age because she wanted to help women to be able to have self-confidence. And this became contagious over time. And after 2 or 3 years, she had so many views on her podcast. You see? Katie's juice, isn't it? Right. And you see how the difference is how you do that. So if you do it, just talk to people from a conversational standpoint, the way I talked about Katie's juice and Katie's podcast, and try to make it where it's a story or memorable. Then people, you may be bragging, but it's done in a different way. Then I went to Harvard, I had a 4.0 average, and I was the only one who did this, that, and the other. You're Katie's juice, what you did to help people, and what was the result of what you did. You see how that comes across better?
Yeah, it does. Because when you say it, it makes so much sense. I'm like, I have a lot to be proud of,
A
but why
lot.
don't I think that way?
Well, some of it comes from, as you say, how you were raised. If you were raised in an environment where you were raised not to be saying things about bragging because you thought it was negative, or someone, when you said good things about yourself, there was someone around you who was shrinking your ideas. I say that there are two types of people, Katie. People who can stretch your ideas, stretch your thoughts, stretch what you were doing, and people who can shrink it. Perhaps at some point in your life, there were things that you didn't, you were proud of, and somebody around you found a way to say, as those people said, looking at me like I was a four-headed monster. And if I had internalized that, do you see how I could come by thinking less of myself and I'm not going to say anything out loud again? Or you could say the thing and somebody could say, Oh, Katie, that's a good idea. Additionally, you may try this. That's someone who shrinks your idea. That's why, Katie, it's important who you surround yourself with.
Yeah, wow. So I love what you said about surrounding yourself with that people that expand your ideas and don't shrink them. And I think it's important for us to identify when that's happening. Just like you said, like when someone's kind of belittling something you said, or they're adding to your suggestion, like that's a ways we can identify it. So I kind of want to go back a little bit because I know you said in the brag factor, the second G is gratitude. Can you talk what the BRAG stand for? Do they stand for things, or is
They
it?
all stand for things. BRAG is my name, and it's an acronym that stands for B, stands for behave as if. I think it is very important for you to behave as if. For instance, when my mother told me when I was in that chemistry class, you just act like this is the Winifred Bragg show. So I had to act like I was somewhere where I was not when this man was ridiculing me. And she was basically saying, act like it's your show. And once the person realized that you are empowered, that you are not going to be the little timid girl crying and embarrassed, it would extinguish that thing that they are doing to you. So sometimes you are in an environment, you may be the only woman there, and you may be afraid, but you have to speak up and internalize that this is your room, this is your place, and you deserve to be there. And it comes from a standpoint of understanding sometimes we lose confidence if we think we don't deserve it or we don't deserve to be there. My mother told me, you deserve to be at the University of Alabama. You were an honor student, you were accepted there, you have good grades. No one else in that class should know that much more than you, so you deserve to be there. So when you understand that you deserve to be there, that kind of empowers you, and you can stand tall and breathe better and say something that's more empowering about yourself. So behave as if. And so whatever you want to become, I tell people to try to get a coach that can kind of help you and direct you in that direction where you want to go. Behave as if. That's why people have mentees and mentors to work with them, so that helps. Speed matters. When you have someone that you can model, modeling is what behave is, and that helps you to do better action. So that's the B. The R stands for resist the urge to. So you got to resist the urge to quit and complain. I don't care what situation you may be in as terms of moving forward, there are going to be some obstacles, and you have to resist the urge to say, I can't do that. I'm quitting. I'm going to complain, and just complain, complain, complain until you don't move forward. So you have to resist the urge to complain and quit. The A stands for accept no limitation. Don't have any self-imposed barriers or let barriers be in your mindset that you can't move forward. I also say that A, you got to ask, ask, ask. Sometimes we don't ask for help, and we know that maybe we're not the best at a certain thing, but if I could just ask someone, I could learn a little bit more about it and move forward. So accept no limitation. And then that first G stands for grow. Grow your gift. A lot of times, like you told me earlier, you were in marketing, I think you said, Katie. You're in marketing, and now you are doing a podcast, and you're doing wonderfully it because you had the gift of connecting with other people. And so sometimes people can make a career out of their gift. It wasn't the skill set that they had that they went to school to have, but they learned to grow their gift. I have had women to come to workshops that I have given. For instance, one lady, her gift was she was trained as a graphic artist. That was her gift. But she went to school in marketing, and but she was so gifted as a graphic artist. Now she learned to grow that gift. She has a business where she handles and does website development and does graphics for people. But her degree is in marketing. But it's her gift is what she does as her job. So sometimes you can do a pivot shift and go from what your trained skills were to go to what your gift is, and that could be a whole nother world for you. So
So
that's how
good.
you have it, BRAGG. And that last G is gratitude.
I love it. Thank you for explaining that. I was just curious. So I wanted to know more about the brag factor. And it makes so much sense. Like I'm gonna write that on a post-it note and just remind myself, because I think as women, we have to remind ourselves a lot of our value and that like we're really good at things and that like it's so hard for us to acknowledge that and think about that. So I love the brag factor and kind of like changing that mindset,
And
which leads me into one of my questions for you. What are some mindset shifts we need to make when it comes to bragging?
mindset shifts. One is the one changing yourself to a product, because it's easier then to talk about a product rather than maybe talking about yourself. Another mindset shift that you can change is that maybe there's a skill or a gift that you have, and you're helping someone else. And so when you deprive the audience or the people or the group or the team of knowing what is that skill or that gift that you have, when someone else does it, it may be selfish. So it's mindset shift to say, I'm holding on to that. And I know if I could just stand here and let them know I can do that, I could solve that problem for them. You know, people want to have a pain solved, and you may have something that's really solving a person's pain, but because you feel like it's bragging for you to say, oh, I know how to do that. Did you need, if we were in an organization and I said, well, I need someone that could do a podcast or that can speak or could help a women's group. But if you are shy and don't raise your hand and don't say anything about it, look, we left the meeting and no one was there to take us to the next step, because Katie's mindset was, well, I don't want to tell them I've been doing a podcast for 2 or 3 years and I've been helping women and I have all these views and this, that, and the other. I'm bragging when the group needed you. So that's the mindset, that you are depriving people of help, because your value is that you are solving a problem for someone and you are taking people from where they are to where they want to be. And there's a gap between where you are, where they want to be, and you're the bridge. And that's the mindset that you are the bridge.
Love it. Love it. 'Cause, and I'm glad you said that, because I think of some women that might not want to share what they're good at or might not want to talk about anything that they do because they're afraid that there's too many people doing it, but no one can do it like you can.
Right. And that's what they call your unique value proposition, you know, in the business world. But that's what I call is your brag factor, is that unique thing that you have. That is your, when you discover what is unique about you, no one can do it like you. You may have a podcast, other people may have it, but no one can do it like Katie. And that's what you need to know. It's your special sauce. And I tell people, most people's grandmothers taught them how to make a some type of pie. What was the pie that your grandmother made, Katie?
Oh, she made chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot pie. Okay, chicken pot pie. There are ingredients that your grandmother put in that chicken pot pie that my grandmother probably didn't put in her chicken pot pie. There's a way that she did the pastry, the dough in that pie, that she knew what vegetables or what seasoning she was going to put in it, and nobody could make it like Grandmama Katie, right? And that was her unique value. Even though there are pot pies all around, Sara Lee and all these people, Duncan Hines, would not have existed unless they knew that they had something unique. And so a lot of people think they're doing the same thing, but it's your brag factor when it is what is the unique thing that you bring to it.
So what if people think, well, what am I good at? I'm not unique, or like, how can we identify what our gifts are and what makes us unique?
Well, one of the easiest ways, I think, Katie, is when you're around your friends, your true friends, and your family, you can look at something simple like, what are they always asking me to do? You know, you may be with some girls, like you said, you went to that party, And maybe if you lived in an apartment with some girls or near them, they may say, Katie, what are you wearing? I'm confused on what am I wearing. Should I wear the pink with the green, the red with the this? And you will find that people are always asking you about how you put your clothes together, or when they come over your house and they say, Katie, what do you think about this room? What can I do to make it look better in here? So you find out that you might have had interior decorating skills, yet you were not a bona fide interior decorator. Or people may say, you know, I'm having a party, but I need someone to MC it. So then you find out your friends are always asking you to do a speaking something. And so then you find out speaking may not have been what you went to school to do. You weren't in broadcasting, but people were always asking you, could you speak or do something? You follow me? So that's going to help tune you into, I must have a gift with this because people are always asking me to do it.
Yeah, it's being more aware of it and identifying it. Yeah, I love that.
Right.
Yeah.
You get a trend and it'll come out to you that yes, it seems like when people have that problem or that situation, that's the problem that you are solving. And so that right there, I always tell people, you want a good business idea? Start with the pain. And I'm not saying that because I'm a pain doctor, but start with the pain. When there's a pain somewhere, people pay money for you to solve their pain. The girl that wants to look good at that party, at her wedding, at the bachelorette party, she wants to look dynamite. She wants to really look good on that day, right?
Yeah.
You solved the problem when you told her what her hair needed to look like, her makeup, her clothes. That was a big deal. When she's picking out the room or how they're decorating that room, that's a big deal. And so solve a pain. When you solve a pain, start with a pain. And what is the pain those people have? And when you have a suggestion to solve a pain, you're on to a good business idea.
Yeah.
The guy that owns Paychex, and I can't think of his name, they said that the way he started that business, he would take his check and, you know, had to go to grocery store, different places to get his check cashed. And he said, this is so problematic. That was a pain for other people. So look what he has. He created Paychex. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what they do. Amazon started in their garage. And this is how they did. They solved a pain that people have during COVID. Look, we didn't want to go to the grocery store because everybody had us afraid of this big monster virus. So what do people do? Deliver your groceries to you. Start with the pain. And when you see a pain that a person has, if it's not just your pain, start asking other people, do you have a problem with that as well? When you have a solution to that pain, you're on the way to something.
Yeah. I think that's so true. And that's why there's so many entrepreneurs that are able to build businesses because they started with a pain point and they grew it
And they
and
grew
they,
it.
yeah, they were the solutions.
And that's the solution. Right.
And I also think this can work for people that work in a corporate setting too, is you're solving a pain point. Maybe you're working in customer service right now, but you're really good at marketing and you can really like you can solve a pain.
Expand and expand it. You may be in one area, but because you're solving a pain point and you see that you are doing that over and over, you're developing another skill. Although you may be in customer service, you end up seeing that you are a conflict with a resolution person. You are a mediator because really in customer service, I tell people, write down the skills you have. What do you do at your job? But think about what is the skill it does. I mean, you may be a waiter or waitress. You say, well, I waited tables. But what was the skill? I tell people in an assessment that I have in one of my books, I said, write down, but what is the skill that you have? You're taking orders as a waiter or a waitress. But in that skill, guess what? You got to multitask. Not only that, you resolve conflicts. How often does somebody tell you they want a Pepsi or a Coke and somebody had the wrong soda or whatever? You had to resolve how you're going to get this fixed because some people don't have a good personality. You had to deal with an angry customer. And so you were in customer relations, although you were doing waiter or waitress. You were doing customer service, customer relations. And also doing resolving conflicts. You follow me? Right.
That's so good. I love that so much. And I think it's so true nowadays 'cause like I personally, I'm like, my work will help me get a better job or my work will like, I like to lead by example. I don't really brag that much on myself. And it's very, I get very like timid when it does come to that. Even when people are telling me like, people have been bragging on you doing this, doing that. I'm like, okay. It doesn't, you know, so it, I've got to change my mindset around that. I know I need to, but I would love for you to answer this question. Do you have to have confidence to brag?
Well, I think that it works that bragging a little bit on yourself will give you confidence. You could start out not having confidence, but after bragging on yourself, you'll gain a little confidence. This is why I tell people that they need to create what I call a brag book about themselves. A brag book is where you're going to put in a folder or on your phone, your iPhone, or in a computer, the accomplishments that you have made. You're going to put down your experiences that you've had. What did you do from a volunteer standpoint? What did you do in your real, in your professional job? And as you write those things down and categorize them, that's going to give you confidence. So you see how when you're doing that and focusing on the skills and the experiences you have, it's creating your brag book. But going through that exercise is going to then give you confidence. And then from that, you probably could do what I say, bragging easier then. You follow me?
Yeah. Well, and so are there different ways that we can brag? Is it always like in a person-to-person sense? Or like if we're keeping a brag book, like when it comes to bragging on ourselves, let's say we want a better job or we want more money, we want to make more money. How can we do that? How can we get to that point? Because I feel like some of us might have the brag book, but we might never use it. Like, how can we use the brag book?
You make the brag book and you make it like a portfolio that if you were going to an interview for a job, you take it with you, kind of like a little crutch. And because you have it, you may not use it, but you know you have it there. It has helped, as you said, your mindset, and it helped you to organize your thoughts. And so when you organize your thoughts, guess what? You're going to speak, you're going to communicate more concisely, it's going to be clearer and somewhat more charismatically because you organize what you've done. So you have that book, you went through the trouble of making it, you actually take it to the interview with you, and an interviewer may not want it, but because you have it there, you may go to a certain place and say, here is a graphic that shows we started out here, and this is where we ended up after I was able to work with my team. And sometimes it helps people because they can point to a graph or point to an illustration, and they feel like they're not bragging then, because then they're pointing to a something rather than to themselves. But having it, if someone asks you, well, how do I know you're good enough to do that? And you say, well, when I started with my company or started there, I was given a promotion because I reduced increased sales by 10% over a certain time period. And you say that, and because you know that, because you wrote all that down in the brag book and you have it, and a person may say, hey, I like to see that. Then you have it to give to them. They may not want it, but just because you have it there, it's going to give you some power because you know that you've gone through this and gotten your mindset together and you have it. And that's why I say have a brag book. And it's like practice makes perfect. You know, you have Facebook friends, if they're really your friend, you ask them, say, I'm telling you about myself. How did that sound? How did that sound to you? What did you get from that? Did that sound corny to you, or how did that sound? How was that articulated? And so you want to have that. A simple way to do it, Katie, is when you're networking. It's really important when you go to a networking event. I used to go to a networking event, and as a doctor, you know, I didn't have any marketing training. I had no kind of marketing training. And when I started out, I only knew that I had $100,000 worth of school loans in a briefcase that I brought with me to the town where I now practice in the Virginia Beach area. And I was reminded all the time, because I had the coupons that I had to pay monthly on my student loans, that I want to build a big practice, but how do I do it? I would go to these networking events and I'd say, hi, I'm Dr. Bragg. Nice to meet you. And the people would say, yeah. And they'd go right back to talking to the people that they were talking to before. And so I didn't brag on them, but I had to learn what I say a 30-second brag. This is why you don't have to have a big old long show on bragging, a 30-second that you may call your elevator pitch. But it's going to be filled with a few little things about you that you can say in 30 seconds that engages a person enough that they want to know more about you. Like I may say, I'm Dr. Bragg and I teach entrepreneurs and business people how to brag on themselves or how to promote themselves so that they can get better jobs or more promotions or better salaries. And you can say that, and then people say, how do you do that? See how it's going to lead to a conversation? Or I'm Katie, and I have a podcast that now I have blank number of views or that many viewers or that many followers. And I help women because women suffer so much from lack of confidence. See how you said that in 30 seconds? That's just a good conversation piece. And in there, you told them you had a podcast, how many followers you had, and this, that, and the other, and what your goal is. Then the other person is going to say, well, Katie, how you do that? So people would say you just bragged on yourself, but those were facts. You've rehearsed it, you've said it, so that it's conversational, but it's true, it's memorable that you are a young woman who has a podcast because you wanted to help women who lack confidence to gain confidence. And now I have X number followers. You follow me?
And there's a couple things that you said that I want to expand on a little bit, because you said that when you were in Virginia Beach at first, you were like, you had $100,000 worth of loans, and you wanted to build a big practice. You had a goal in mind. So that influenced your elevator pitch.
That's right.
You had goals going into that. And I think it's important to think about when you're going into any sort of situation, what your goal is. If I want to promote my podcast, I'm going to talk about my podcast. If I want to talk about something else that I do, I'm going to talk about something else. But can you give us some tips, about how to create the elevator pitch? Like, you were talking about how you're like, "Hi, I'm Dr. Bragg. I help people do the, or I help people brag on themselves." How can my listeners come up with an elevator pitch, regardless of what they do? Is there like a framework that you can talk about? Like how, like, say your
Yes,
name and then say this?
In a book that I've written, I have templates that tell people exactly a framework. You know, hi, I'm Dr. Bragg. And we go through a little exercise. First, you need to identify your skills and what is your goal. I tell people that you need to kind of have a bag or a bank full of little brags, as you say. Because if I'm going to a medical conference, I am a physician. And so I may be talking more about what I do medically. If I'm talking to a group of seniors or golfers who have back pain, then my 30-second brag is going to be, as you say, go oriented, a goal pointed at what who is the audience and who are the people that I'm talking with. So it's important that you have several different 30-second brags for different occasions. And you know, so that's what you want to have. And you want it to be, you know, short, as I said, memorable, but you want to talk about, first of all, write down, start right now, what are three unique skills about yourself? Who do you know or who have you met that most people haven't met? Where have you traveled? I live in the Virginia Beach area, which is a military town. So a lot of people have traveled a lot because they were in the military. And they take for granted that they've already been to six of the seven continents. I haven't. Do you see how that serves as a good conversation piece to get going? And that's a unique thing about you. So first identify what are some of your unique qualities, say your name and put that in there so that something that you can say about yourself that makes a person then want to ask you something else. You follow me?
That's such good advice. Thank you for
Right.
sharing that. And go get Dr. Bragg's book where she has the templates if you want to. So I didn't even realize, Dr. Bragg, but it is about time to wrap up. So
Oh my goodness, Katie, did you get all your questions in?
yes, for the most part. I mean, I could talk to you all day, but I'm loving this conversation. I hope that it adds value for my listeners. So the last thing, how has bragging helped you in your own life? I know you talked about in college and when you were in medical school, but how has implementing the brag factor in your life helped change things?
The brag factor has just been a game changer for me in my life because I can go to a conference and I can just introduce myself. When you go around little things and people want to know who you are, my 30-second brags, words matter. They are powerful and they are memorable so that people remember me. And it helps me both with my medical career and in building my speaking career. I'm a speaker and I do executive coaching. And so having the brag factor has really helped me to be able to grow both of those businesses. And I encourage your leaders that your viewers, rather, I encourage your viewers to take time to develop their 30-second brag so that no matter where they are at church or in any place where they are, that if they do a powerful 30-second brag, it can be a game changer, and that they must learn how to brag on themselves because in a performance review, when you want to raise, that person needs to be told why they need to give you more money. What is your value? What have you brought? What did you do? And I'm a team player. I'm the one that always can be looked upon to be dependable. I have 100% attendance at work. People want someone that's dependable. I tell people to think about what they have done that shows character, commitment, and courage. For people who have a problem just thinking about bragging, if you do it from that standpoint, what have you done that show commitment? Well, you may live in Michigan, like I trained in Michigan, and it was snowing and having 10 inches of snow and whatever. If you're that person that showed up to work all the time, always on time, always doing that's not a complainer, and finish your task on time, those are good attributes that any employer would want. And those are things you want to bring out in your in your performance evaluation, the things that frame you to be true, that so that that helps you get better jobs and promotions. And so that's what I tell people, think about it. You have done things that show commitment and courage and good character. You have integrity. Those things are invaluable. If you're the one that makes the deposits for your office, you're the one that's counting money, all those things that your work may, somebody may work as a cashier, but you're never short on the cash. Your everything balances with you. You stay late when they need someone to stay late. You're willing to do overtime for them. All of these are things are good attributes that are worth bragging about. And so people think that that's bragging, bragging, but those are facts. Those are the things that define you.
Yeah, and it's where you are. You don't have to have all of these big accomplishments or anything. It's like literally how you do your daily life and your work. It's something to brag about.
It's something to brag about. When
Yeah.
you are a woman managing your family and your professional life, and you are doing that, that's something to brag about. It's a lot to be the mother working outside the home, or if you're at home managing the children and your spouse, your significant other, that's something to brag about, that you would be able to keep it together and keep your children out of trouble, and you're giving them day-to-day guidance and making sure that they are standing on track in school, helping them when school was shut down, and you were the mother having to help them with their homework and all of those are things to brag about because everybody can't multitask. Whereas we as women don't like to apply for those jobs when we miss one qualification. One thing most women can put down is that we are multitaskers. Men aren't good at multitasking. When you can do that multitasking at home, you can do it in the corporate world if you want to. But don't sell yourself short if you are a homemaker and you are a good mother, a good wife, because of you and your sacrifices. That's why your children will be confident because of what you're teaching them in the home, and why they would be able to go on and have productive lives because you instill confidence in them. My mother was a stay-home mother, when I was growing up, but a lot of my confidence comes from her always telling me what I could do and what I could become. And when people would say what I couldn't do, she would always take me back and remind me to look in that mirror like I'm telling the audience to do, and look at the person that I see. One of the most memorable things I remember is when my parents took me to Washington, D.C. And Katie, that was a big trip because I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, and we came on the train from Birmingham to Washington, D.C., to the Mall on Washington. And my folks took me around to all the monuments and gave me a little bit of the history. And my mother wanted to stop at the reflecting pool. And we stopped at that reflecting pool. She said, "Look at the little girl that you see in that pool." She says, "And I want you to always remember that that little girl can do anything she wants to do if she would believe in herself." At that time, I was young, Katie, too young to understand what she was telling me about believing in myself. But as I grew older, Katie, I grew to understand that believing in myself was one of the best lessons I ever learned. And when you can look in that mirror, start your day with confidence and say, "Winifred Bragg, you can do this. These are my goals for today. I'm good enough. I deserve that promotion. I deserve that raise. I deserve that job." When you can look in the mirror and say, "Sheila, I deserve this. Amy, I deserve this. I'm good enough." My mother didn't know about visualization as we talk about now, the importance of visualization, how athletes visualize. You read about athletes, they talk about how they visualize hitting the winning shot. And they go out and they practice that and they practice that. And they wait until that's their turn to hit that winning shot. The reason Michael Jordan said he could hit it because he had visualized it so many times. That's the reason someone could hit a home run, they had visualized it. So my mother didn't really know about visualization. She says, "How do you know I didn't know?" Well, she didn't tell me it was visualization, but she told me to look in that mirror and always believe in the person that I saw. And that's what I want your listeners to take from this, that the brag factor starts also in believing in you and knowing that you are good enough, and give yourself that self-talk, and that's going to change your mindset. And don't think about the bragging, think about the value you bring. And that's what we want to talk about, owning and communicating your value, not just saying bragging, but it's the value and the pain points that you are solving. And that's what you want to think about when you think about brag factor.
Wow. I'm just so in awe of you, Dr. Bragg. Thank you so much for coming on, for your amazing words that you shared. I know you're going to have a huge impact on a lot of my listeners. So thank you, Dr. Bragg.
Well, thank you,
And
Katie. It's been my honor, and I hope your listeners have gained something from our talk tonight.
yes, absolutely. I'm sure that they have. And before we wrap up, where can people find you? You said you had a YouTube channel. Where can people follow you, find you, all the
If
things?
they go to thebragfactor.com, that's my website, and I have a YouTube channel called The Brag Factor, a Facebook page called The Brag Factor, and they can contact me there for anything that they want. My email is drbragg@thebragfactor.com, but simply going to my website, thebragfactor.com, they can find out where I am, and I hope that they will join and follow me on my YouTube, The Brag Factor, and start listening to my terrific Tuesday tips, and maybe they will find them to be helpful for them in their life.
Well, I know I'm gonna go subscribe after this for sure.
Okay, I hope
And
so.
yeah, and I'll have that linked in the show notes for everyone so they can easily find it. So thanks everyone so much for listening. If you love this episode, please share it. And if you want to hear from more incredible guests just like Dr. Bragg, please take a few minutes to rate this podcast, write a review, and subscribe. And I'll see you in the next one.